Oh, and that was another thing. Your old one had 12 gigs. Yeah, it had 12 gigs, and only three were available with Windows 7 32-bit edition. So putting it on 64-bit edition made it like a brand new computer. I think your new one has 16. Okay. But I'm only thinking of...
I'm at 8.1.
We're up.
Yeah, mine came with Windows 10. I just hot off the press, I guess. Because it was July 29th, what's the date? It's an amazing computer. What's the date?
And it still has all the tiles.
But you don't. You can totally ignore those. You don't need.
I'm ignoring. Or
you can totally take advantage of them. In fact, one of these days I'm going to bring in my other computer and let you guys pass it around and let you see how I use this.
Is it a touch screen or a?
No. It's that ancient Dell, that 2007.
Yeah, I haven't even bothered to try to get used to the tiles. I just go to where I always went and the same things I always did.
Yeah.
I get to the tiles just by accident.
You'll appreciate it more with Windows 10 because the tiles that you bring up under Windows 8 are such a jarring experience to go to something different. Where Windows 10, you bring it up under the Start menu, and you can really kind of cater the way that you start up your applications. And what I've enjoyed doing, I've done it on this computer, but I can't really pass it around for people to see, is setting up my activities in groups. And so I've got a group for the computer club, and I've got a tile for each one of the applications.
So that's the way my desktop set up.
That's right. And
folder set up.
So what I was able to do is I was able to clean all the icons off my desktop. It was essentially what I think Gary and I were talking about it the other day. It's what I used to use fences for. Now I use the Start for it.
For a brief time, I used fences. And I thought it was pretty cool, but then something went haywire with the machine, and I just never bothered putting it back in again.
8.1, you don't need pinches. I didn't need them on my setup.
No, not really, because it's got the setup for it. And it just expands and expands. You filled it up with tiles, and it just keeps going, growing.
Yeah, truthfully, I continued to use fences with 7, because if you are somebody that's connecting to a monitor and disconnecting from a monitor, then it still will float around depending on your resolution settings, so your icons will still move around to get. And Fences was really good about remembering which monitor had which settings when you're. And really, it seems like I only had problems because I was moving between two different external monitors, two completely different resolutions, different manufacturers, and so things would get bounced around.
You see, notice the way I set mine up, I set up folders on that. And then under any one folder, I might have 10 programs.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way to do it. I just use the Explorer for that.
We're it.
I don't have a cup of coffee yet.
Yeah.
Can I start without coffee? I don't know. I don't know if that's even possible.
Now you sound like my wife.
It will be the only way I sound like you. Or I want you to sit over there, Jim. What was it, Robin?
Is Linda okay? Linda?
I don't know. Why? Do you know something?
Well, she's been, doing something about you.
Are you sure? Yeah, I'm positive.
She's been on Facebook.
Yeah. She's asking about hip surgery and things like that. I wondered if she would.
I haven't talked to her specifically, not since last week.
She's not here.
Has anyone seen that?
We did?
Yeah, because it's 16 to 1. She lost a lot of money.
I didn't realize that we had upped our.
Yes, we did. And just ask everybody.
Yes, I've been looking at this. It's 100% increase. I'm not so sure I can handle it.
Is this money for everyone?
Yes, it is.
Well, so we don't leave it to
It's just that I need to change all my notices that say that we take 5 pesos.
I don't think you ever sent a notice out.
No, I do. On the web page, if you go find out what we're all about, it tells about tequilas and about leaving
It's only fair.
It's only fair.
It's only fair. Well, it's fine with me. I'm
it's
just
fine with me.
The last to know. That's all.
Well,
Scott is worth every
We found out together.
I found out when I threw my
five-page.
Oh, I hope so. I could use some coffee.
It's coming. It's coming.
I made a fresh pot for you.
No, you're getting
café.
Awesome. Muchas gracias. Well, I know what I'm forgetting to do. I'm forgetting to say, hey, we're here and working and things are flying.
My computers are getting more and more Spanish. You start talking Spanish.
If you've done browser updates, it's possible that you've wiped out the cookies that tell it what region you're in. And if you're in Windows 10 at any given moment, you might have location turned on, and that may affect whatever program you're in.
Yeah, I haven't done anything with Windows 10 yet. I'm not going to do it before we check it out.
Yeah, I notice I use Windows Explorer mostly, and a lot of the time I'm trying to transfer one computer to the one Chris is using now and put the same icons in there. And I go to Windows Explorer and type in some thing, and comes a whole bunch of Spanish.
Mine is a lot.
And you got to look at the addresses. And if it's a bunch of Spanish at the end of the address, don't bother going there. You don't want to learn how to speak.
Well, I don't know. If I go on Facebook or something, it's like in all Spanish.
You're doing pretty well with your Spanish.
And it depends on who you're connected to, too.
Yeah, I think it has. Non-connected a lot down here.
They've got some kind of an algorithm happening on Facebook that looks at what you do and determines what you might want to do.
Yeah.
And then they start feeding you this crap that they think you.
No, when somebody has a birthday, it says, come to the you.
No.
With everybody in the States and everywhere.
Damn you, Twitter.
Birthday today.
You're doing the same thing you were doing last week. All I want to do is retweet this message. I've made it a habit of spitting out a tweet for We're In Session streaming live, and then doing that from the Computer Club Twitter account, and then going to my own personal and retweeting it. And for some reason, the Twitter app under Windows 10, half the time...
So you have to do it...
No, actually, it's 100% of the time now, because the only last time I went to do it was last week, and it didn't let me do it. It let me do it all week, but then I get back to Computer Club, and it's not letting me do it again. So, screw you, Windows client. I'll use Twitter on the iPhone to accomplish the same task, if I can. There it is.
Grandma.
She's bringing it.
There we go. All right, now. All three people out there know that we're live. So, this is the San Carlos Computer Club, and we're starting really casual because we've got we started with a smaller group and got a few extra people. I'm Scott Stempson from International Computer Solutions, who I hope you call if you have computer problems. But I don't hope you have computer problems. I just hope that you call me if you do. I have actually come with another agenda, maybe that's why there's a smaller group this week, because last week I was so prepared, people didn't want to hear what I had to say, and they decided not to show up this week.
I don't think that's
I hope that's not true.
I don't think
so. Come with an agenda or no agenda?
No, I've come with an agenda.
Oh, okay.
Actually, what I've been doing is, I think I mentioned this app a while back, this Wunderlist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just in love with this app. I use it everywhere. I use it for everything. You've been using it as well?
Oh, yeah, I love it.
It's just amazing. I got it on my iPhone. I got it on my tablet. I got it on my laptop. I got it on my desktop Macintosh and my other laptop. I've rebuilt a couple of computers recently. Every time I try to live without it, it ends up being one of the apps I've got to install. And one of the things I've done recently is I've started keeping a to-do list of club topics. So as what I used to do in the past, I'd find something, oh, this would be really cool to talk about a computer club, and I would tweet it, put it in my Twitter stream, which I still do. But I never would have the time to get that stream up in front of me while we were in club, and I couldn't annotate it so with more information, and I mean, I couldn't pick and choose for later. Well, using this Wunderlist, I've been keeping a rotating list of topics, and I pull topics off that we've talked about and associate them with another list, which is associated with the date of the meeting. So I can keep track of what we talked about in meeting, and the things we didn't get a chance to talk about are still sitting there in my rotating list. So later I can decide whether they've expired or pass them on to the next week.
Wunderlist.
Wunderlist is great. I've been using it for the computer club most recently, but I've been using it for the bed and breakfast for almost a year now, and I use it for our own to-do lists at home. Find it very helpful.
This is too much organization for Mexico for you, though.
Right.
You know? Jeez.
So, consequently, what I've ended up with is a list of topics that we can go to. We don't have to get through all of them, but some of them I think are really interesting. And we'll have some time for some open discussion about anything you guys want to talk about. Now, if I could just get the topic list back in front of me. There it is. So, outside of always recommending... Oh, did you know Wunderlist was bought by Microsoft? It's a Microsoft product now. I don't use my Microsoft Services account, but pretty soon it'll be available. I mean, you should be able to sign in with your Microsoft Services account. I've been using my Google account to sign into it.
So is it on? Is it already on the Windows 10?
No, you do download it. You go to the Windows 10 store to find the version that I've been using. But they also have a standalone desktop version. There's no difference between the two versions. The experience is exactly the same. The only difference is whether it's you've gotten it from the store or you've gone to the website and downloaded it. And the ideal reason that you're using a store is because the applications in it have been vetted. And so there's no reason to think that you're getting compromised when you're trying to download this piece of software. The idea is that Microsoft has looked at it, their store has said that it's safe, you should be able to download it. The other good reason to use an app store is that if you, for some reason, lose all your apps, you've got a record in your account at that app store. So at any Windows 10 computer I go to, I can sign into the app store, and it'll show me the list of applications that I've been using on other computers. So I don't have to remember all those titles or any of that kind of stuff. And then the third reason I think app stores are good is that whenever an update comes out, it's registered with the App Store. So you can find that, like, you one-stop shopping, basically. You don't have to run around getting the updates for the applications you're using. Whenever there's an update, it gets announced to you, hey, the App Store has a new version of this software. Now, some of the downfalls, and not that I meant to be talking about App Stores, but some of the downfalls of App Stores are you are a registered user. It's legitimate to think that every app that you use has got branded with your identification.
You know, APG Pro does this also. They check all the updates for you.
Oh, all the software that you're running?
Do we have a new password here?
Do we?
Okay. Is that not on your Wunder list?
It's not. I don't have it written down.
Scott,
I don't even know what the password is.
You don't have to use that.
Could it be under this microphone stand? Nope.
Maybe.
I don't have it.
I thought that was in there, not the one.
It is every day except Tuesday from 9:15 to 10:15. Then it's a mic stand. Okay. So, leading on, I wanted to recommend a Windows 8, Windows 8.1, Windows 10 application that I've been using as well called Network Speed Tester. And I found this to be one of the easiest, nicest speed testers that I've been using recently. You'd go into the Windows Store and you'd search for Network Speed Test. It's a very simple app. It has a visual, like a half C or an upside down moon or an upside down U, that shows you your download speed as a ticker and your upload speed as a ticker. But then off to the right, it has a chart of all the different times you've tested it. And so it keeps a historic record of what is your bandwidth speeds. The other thing that I really like about it is that those bandwidth speeds are based on the network you're currently connected to. So, like, I brought it up now just to have a point of reference as we're talking. And it sees I'm connected to Tequila's network. And so it shows me the historic speed tests I've done only here in Tequila's. When I connect to my home network, it shows me a list of my home network speeds and so on. And right now it's showing me something like services unavailable, which I don't really, that's the first time I've seen that message. Not really sure what that means.
I was about to ask the question now, why would you need that?
Well, I think that if you're dealing with congestion on your network, you're having an experience on with your internet provider where you feel like you're not going as fast as you're supposed to, then you can use this application to track it historically.
If you're at your house and you've got five or six different things running off the internet, does it take that into account? Or is it just telling you what you're getting from that computer?
Yeah, it's it takes that into account only in respect that that affects what kind of response you're getting. The response would be the most accurate if your test was the only thing running on the internet.
Like, I've got two Rokus and usually two computers going at different times of day. So at some times during the day, there's five different gadgets drawing information from the network. And if I did a speed test on my tablet, would that tell me the overall speed of what's coming at me because I'm on a network, or does it just tell me what's coming at that particular?
It would show you, it would, well, see, that's hard to say because these get more and more accurate. There are definitely speed testers out there that if you've got traffic on the network, then it diminishes the results of what your internet provider should be giving you. So the most accurate test you could do ever is have your computer with the speed test being the only thing that's going on your... So, like, turn off the Roku, turn off the other computers.
Then that just tells you what's coming at you.
That's always going to be the most accurate.
And if you clicked on one Roku and checked it again, would you still see what the same result, or would it reduce it?
So that's the thing, is it would it reduce it would depend on how effective the software is, whether it's able to make allowances for that. And I've seen speed checkers that do that. That, like, their whole aim is to see what your potential is, not what you're actually having. This one, I've been using it for a while, and it feels like it's showing me what I actually have at that moment. And so that would mean that a Roku running in the background would affect the results of it.
I've been told that a Roku won't operate in anything less than 1.6 megabytes. And so I've got around 5 megabytes coming in, and I've got two Rokus and, like I say, two or three other gadgets.
But they're not really drawing unless you've got them watching TV.
Well, sometimes that's the case.
If they're just at the menu screen, the only time they're going to actually draw your internet signal is if they're updating.
So you're talking about, like,
which
a live
is once
stream
a day, yeah,
coming at you makes the difference.
Yeah, if you're watching something, then you're actually streaming to it. Yeah.
I'm impressed you can watch two movies at the same time.
Yeah. Gary's all right, isn't he?
He multitasks.
Yeah.
I don't watch any movies.
Yeah, I'm not a rookie or something.
He's a hot runner.
Make your own advertisements.
20 minutes.
Well, I had 20 minutes because
You had a lot of speed tests on your website.
Box.
Yeah. Did you guys hear about this?
What's that?
The Siri and Google Now hack.
That's talking. Talking.
Google
interface.
Has a Siri.
Yeah. Hack.
Hack.
Yeah, they have some researchers in France have discovered that they can send voice commands to your phone remotely using microwaves, or let me say that correctly, electromagnetic waves. They don't actually have to say a word, but they can convince your phone that you're talking to it. So I found this really interesting, especially I was really disappointed in myself for not having come up with this in the first place, because this really is such a no-brainer. If you've got any electrical engineer experience, they're using an inductance approach, like a wireless approach, to and a headphone cable as an antenna to propagate a signal on it that will send to Siri what Siri thinks is coming from the microphone. So it's sending electrical impulses the same way a microphone does when you talk to it. But they're doing it through the air.
But how far away can they do that?
Well, they can do it with a backpack of batteries 6 feet away. Or they can do it 16 feet away with a car. And the thought is that what you could do with this kind of attack is you could park outside a place like a bar or a restaurant, and you could compromise over 50% of the phones in it. And if you think about how we're using voice controls to control your phones, that's an amazing amount of power. Because you can use your voice now to do so many different things. You can bring up calendars. You can launch applications. You can create to-do lists and read off to-do lists. You can look up contact information. You can
Google.
Send off emails.
Google.
You can Google. You can do so much. And this is the direction we're going in the future, is we're going to have devices. I suspect that we're going to very quickly move from really big phones to really little phones again, because the screen's not going to matter anymore. Because the voice is going to be so accurate, you're just going to be telling this little device everything that you need to know. Getting it on a screen will be secondary. If you don't want to listen to it, or you have some accessibility issue, maybe you're carrying a micro projector with you. So when you need a screen, it just projects on your hand or projects on the wall. Right? Or maybe it projects just to whatever screen is handy. We'll have screens like a screen over on the wall. It's like, oh, I need to see what it's saying. And you just bring it over to the wall and you bring up a screen. So this is going to be more of a consideration as we move farther into the future. And that's what the researchers are trying to emphasize with this. Nobody has actually done this yet, but they have proven this is totally doable. And the idea is that This where we are. Yeah, I know updates were installed. Thank you. How about a message that says updates will be installed? That would be much better.
In 10 seconds.
Okay, what are they doing when they break into your phone? What are they using it for?
Well, there is no hacker doing this yet. Or as far as we know, there's no hacker doing this yet. I suspect 5 minutes after the researchers got done with this, the NSA is using this now. Right, because you can pull contact lists out, right? You can pull GPS coordinates out of the phone. With your voice, because it's become so sophisticated now, you may not know how to ask Siri to do these things for you. But all these things are available from Siri. That's right. So if you are, if you've come up with a way, I mean, that's the thing. You don't have to be on the network. You can start controlling somebody's phone wirelessly, right? And you can do it just by being within proximity.
So you can open their house. You can do all that stuff.
Thank
that
you.
You can
yes.
Do from your home.
No, you're absolutely right with the home automation
they
stuff.
You can stop their car.
You can stop their car. You can make
it
crash.
You could ask for the GPS coordinates of your home, of your work. You could tell the home automation to unlock the doors, right? You could tell your garage door to open up. You could do all of this.
Turn the freezer off.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
And it's because, and again, what the researchers are trying to emphasize is it's because of the form, that this is a security risk, because we haven't considered how the voice is being used as a security threat yet, that they're trying to emphasize that. We don't really think of it. It's in my pocket. Nobody's going to be able to talk to it. They're going to have to pull it out of my pocket, and I'm going to be there because my phone is an extension of me. My voice is an extension of me. It's secure by the very nature it's on my presence. This isn't a compromisable act.
So they're going to have to come up with a voice identification, like the eyeball or the...
No, you're absolutely right.
Because there should be able to be...
Password protected.
The problem with that, though, is that there's a file somewhere that says, this is your fingerprint, or that's your eyeball, or... And if anybody knows how to find that file, they're in like you would be. So I don't see that as real good security.
Well, at the very least, though, you could have a setting on your phone that says, if it's not my voice, don't listen to commands.
Right.
And so they would. So what your phone would be doing is checking to see if it's your voice or not. At the very least, that's some kind of protection.
I suppose.
But you know, that service is really good when you're driving around town and you don't want to punch your, just talk to your phone and ask it questions and it'll give you an answer out loud. And
what a funny hack that would be, Chester, is if you went out to a bar and you changed everybody's home location to like a Best Buy. Right? All right, going home now, and then you've got like 40 people showing up in the Best Buy parking lot because they're just following their GPS. They're not paying any attention to whether it's taking a moment or not. Or even your self-driving car, right? Yeah. Update my GPS coordinates to my self-driving car.
Yeah.
Well, that's the big issue with the self-driving cars, is that not a hacker, not somebody coming up and saying, okay, you're braking now. Controlling your braking when it's not you.
Oh, right.
Or your
fees,
or your...
Oops.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's gone.
Here, I got the quote, because I'm finally up and operational again. It's the main issue here, and the goal of this paper, is to point out the failings in this security model. That's the only reason this has been done. They have no evidence that people have been doing this, but it's just... I mean, of course, they're going to... I mean, at least the government's going to start doing this. Because they have the money to throw at some... They could build a phone-compromising car. They could just drive around to questionable areas and collect people's access to their phones.
Why Google?
They could cut a deal with Google so that the mapping cars are running around just doing this all the time. Well, that's what happened with the Wi-Fi, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they inadvertently collected everybody's Wi-Fi data and made notes of whether they were secure Wi-Fi points or not. Right? And later they said, oh, I'm sorry, that was an accident. We sure didn't mean to do that. It's hard to imagine something like that happening by accident. When you think about all the things you try and use a computer for on purpose. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to imagine that they accidentally collected
maybe
all that information.
See if it could be done.
Well, there's a couple of good articles that talk about this, and I'll put links on the website. So if you guys are interested in any of this kind of stuff, you can look there. There's a good article from Slate and another one from Wired. Oh. And Slate is pretty reasonable, and Wired is Wired. It's entertaining. But I think that's what the most significant thing to come out of this is, such an obvious compromise that nobody ever considered, that you would be, of course you're able to send your voice as electromagnetic waves. That's what we do all the time. It's a matter of fine-tuning them. And here's the details. You have to have a headphone cable. You have to... you have to have a headphone... a cabled headphone, because that acts as an antenna. So if you don't have a headphone on, then you can't compromise the phone, or at least from what I understand at this point, because you need that to catch the electromagnetic signal. You can have your phone in a mode where you have to hold the button to activate Siri or Google Now. So it's the biggest threat that they feel right now is from the lock screen. And a lot of people by default have it set up so they can say, "Hey Siri," from the lock screen it starts listening to your commands. Or Google Now is the same way. "Okay Google," from the lock screen it's ready. So you don't have to punch in a code. That's the key to this, is you don't have to get past the lock screen. So you can set your settings so that that's not possible. But what they also mentioned is that it's just a little bit of jiggering to mimic the microphone, the talk button on a cabled headphone, to be the hold button, the home button that you press. So it's not a matter of complete protection. It's more, one is a lot easier to do than the other, but both are very possible. So this is not a real stopgap to keep this kind of hack from happening. If you're taking advantage of Siri, you're taking advantage of Google Now, you've put your phone in a state where it could possibly be compromised.
Are you at any greater risk through Wi-Fi or hardwiring? Does it make any difference?
It's just different risks.
Yeah,
and you're at risk through Wi-Fi, the same as your, at the same level your computer is, or any device that's on the internet is. This is a completely different kind of risk.
You can't lock it off by being hardwired to your signal.
If you're
hardwired to your modem, say, does that put you in a different place than if you're receiving it Wi-Fi?
Well, yeah, but only a physical difference. Technically, there isn't a difference. If you can get on that same network,
then the same thing can happen.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the things with Wi-Fi is that you could be on a slightly less secure network. You could be using a slightly less secure encryption because the nature of Wi-Fi is that you're broadcasting. And so those broadcast packets are receivable from any radios that are within receiving distance.
Yeah.
Then it's a matter of how secure that encryption is. Whereas a cabled connection, you would have to get cabled to that network. But most of the cabled networks you're connected to also have Wi-Fi. And so if that Wi-Fi can be compromised, it doesn't matter that your computer is connected through Wi-Fi. It matters that the Wi-Fi is able to be
backdoor side of things.
Well, it's the same level of compromise at that point. I mean, to really lock down a system by cabling it, you'd have to turn off all Wi-Fi access to it. And in this case, it's not the same kind of... See, this is really like a local hack.
Yeah,
this
you'd lose the convenience of the Wi-Fi, obviously.
Right.
But in this case, this kind of hack has nothing to do with any of that technology. This is like hacking a button. Right, this is like I could right now. The problem with the technology is right now I could grab your iPhone and I could call up Siri and I could ask it for information. And as long as I had your phone in my hand, I would have access to information that you couldn't get without Siri. If you had a lock screen with a code on it, I wouldn't be able to glean that information. But because Siri's on there, I could hold down the home button and start asking it for information. I could ask it where home is. I could ask it to do Google searches. I could ask it to pull up somebody's phone number. Right? Even though I can't get past the lock screen. And this takes it farther away. I don't have to touch your phone to do that now. I could be 6 feet away with a backpack and do this. Or I could be 16 feet away with a car and do this. And that's the significance of this news. How'd I do? Did I beat it to death?
What? I didn't get it all.
And we'll forever not go back to that topic until we do another time.
There's an easy fix. Get a dumb phone.
Yeah, or turn it off. Turn off the voice stuff. It reminds me of when Microsoft was going through all the security issues. Like we went from Windows 98 to Windows 2000. And when we went to Windows 2000 and Windows XP, well, everybody knows everybody on XP was an administrator. You had full... It didn't matter that it asked you for a password. The password that you would put in gave you complete control of the system because software was not ready for you to have limited control of the system. And so stuff would not work unless you were an administrator. So the security was there, but nobody was ready to use it. So you were still getting compromised by malware, things like that. It would easily take advantage of you. Well, this voice stuff is the same way. It's too new. They want to get the feature out there, but they've forgotten about this other aspect of security. Right, and now it has, and so it's the. So my perfectly good working iPhone 5 will become obsolete on the next update, which is checking to make sure it's my voice, because it can't handle that kind of checking. I don't have the hardware for it anymore. I have the hardware to any voice, but not to figure out whether it's my particular voice. Yeah. Okay, I got another topic. This leads into another topic that I found very interesting this week. Discovered voice search history in Google, in your Google account. If you're using an Android device with Google Now, and you're saying, okay, Google, or you're using Google to do your searches by voice, you're pressing the microphone and talking into Google, Google's recording all of that. And I guess we knew this. I, if you think about it logically, of course they are. Well, they're recording it.
Oh, recording.
They're recording it. Reporting it probably to the NSA. The NSA is definitely recording it. But Google's also recording it. And it didn't become so obvious to me until I went and visited my Google Voice and Activity page. And I got on the page, and every single word I said is recorded there to hear my voice talking. So I can go down the page, pressing play on each clip, listening to every voice. It has me cussing out the computer because it's not doing the right thing. It has me calling the computer stupid because it can't figure out what I'm saying.
It better not get connected to that.
It has my searches as transcriptions, but it's also got every recording, whether it can transcribe it or not, whether it could make sense out of what I said or not, it's there. And what I found fascinating was my daughter's 7 years old. She has a tablet. It's under my Google account. So what it had was a slew of my daughter asking for YouTube videos. Hobby Kids TV, clink. she's My Little Pony videos. and it was actually, it was fun, a little disturbing, but fun to go through and be able to hear my daughter, my 7-year-old.
Wait till she's 16.
Right, no, that's the disturbing part, right? Not only do I have this, but the rest of the internet's got it too, right? At least the NSA's got it. So if you've ever done voice searches and you're curious about this, it's in your Google account.
And can you delete it?
You can delete it, yeah. You can't delete it from the NSA, but you can delete it from Google. And remember, anything you delete from Google...
Yeah, not from the outside.
That's right. Anything you delete from Google, you're deleting from your own convenience because it's out there. Yeah, they've got it.
What is it? No, not again. To record all that stuff, it's just mind-boggling the volume that they would have recorded on it. Could they ever access it?
Well, that's the thing, is that they have combined data space, which is incredibly inexpensive now, with voice technology. I mean, it's just a recording, just like we're recording this podcast and getting uploaded to their servers, but then with voice transcription. So it gets uploaded to their services, and it transcribes so quickly that it shoots you back the text so you can use it for your functions. But, of course, that's stamped right on the recording. So every stamped recording helps the algorithm figure out what you're saying next because it knows how you talk even better.
But, you know, all they're doing really is they pop keywords out of your, you know, if you just, if your daughter's transmission for My Little Pony, it doesn't, even though it's recorded, it doesn't do anything for them. If it says something about, if your daughter says, you know, I want to see films on Al Qaeda or whatever, you know.
Yeah, there you go. That would be a flag for.
Yes, they have flag words. So it's like.
But you know, that's even different now, because all of that, everything is getting accumulated now because it's so cheap to store all that. So what gets flagged, they make a list of everything that has flagged words, right? So it's not like you say something and they go, oh, this recording needs to go over to the NSA. No, everything's going over to the NSA. Yeah.
But then it's a flag to watch your other ones more closely.
It's like a playlist of Al Qaeda speakers, right? And now we're on it because we've said it twice.
I had a,
it's too late. It's out there.
I had a word.
Probably wrecking your credit rating as we speak.
I had a word coming up on the Kindle that I can't remember what it was even now. As if I typed in AZ, it would bring up a word. It wasn't Al Qaeda. It was, you know, some city or some state of some place I've never heard of, but I'm like, this is way too foreign. I called, or I had a talk with the people, and I'm like, I don't want this word coming up on my Kindle. I don't want it on my Kindle.
Right.
I'm like, I do not want this word on my Kindle. I don't know where it is, what it's about, blah, blah, blah. When I type in AZ, I don't want to have it pop up as
a suggestion.
As a suggestion.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, really?
How do you stop it?
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know what you want to do about it, but get it out of my head.
I don't
want it here.
AZ is Arizona.
Yeah, AZ is Arizona. Exactly.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, what do you do about something like that?
Yeah, well, I call them and I don't get AZ. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. You know, I was like, in reference to what? You know, where is this coming from? You know, this is not in my vocabulary. This is not in my dictionary. This is not in my.
Right, you guys have decided this should be sent to me.
I don't want it in.
The city would be wrong.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. I think my worst experiences have been when I've misspelled something a number of times incorrectly with the same misspelling. And then it keeps getting presented to me as though it's the right spelling. Oh, this is on your list.
Right.
It's like, yeah, it's on my list because I always get it wrong.
I can't spell. I don't want it.
You're supposed to be showing me the right word. I actually haven't had that experience in a while. But that used to be one of my biggest complaints about that stuff.
I've got to run pretty quick. Can I ask a question? Did it finally complete?
I had to start it again this morning, and I just left it sitting there. I'm sorry. I would have brought it with me.
No, don't worry about it. Because my new one, Carla picked it up yesterday at Best Buy.
Oh, okay.
It was $94,
okay. Okay. 2 terabyte Western Digital external
passport.
Yeah, that's great.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's on its way down.
Cool. Well, like I said, the way it's behaving, I wouldn't...
The other one.
I wouldn't...
Right,
okay. I wouldn't trust it. Oh, I wanted to ask you.
Yes.
I'm looking for a FireWire 800 or a FireWire 400 to 800 cable. You don't happen to have one, do you?
Maybe. I've got a lot of cables.
Yeah?
I have a lot of cables, so I will.
Judy, what's your email address?
J-R-O.
Hold on a second. I'm going to send you the message I sent Chester with the pictures on it.
Bring your bag. I just can't find it.
Oh, you do know you've got one, but you can't find it?
I have a bus link on hard drive.
I mean, I've got, and I brought another one. For some reason, I needed a square plug USB on one end, square on the other, and I brought it down, but for the life of me, I can't remember why I needed it. But I knew I had one in Colorado, so I brought it here. I don't know why I brought it.
This was BuzzLink, and that's all FireWire.
Well, Judy, give me your email address.
J-R-A-L-L-A-L-L-W-O-O-D
@gmail.com. And this first one is just a test. So I've got a record of your email address, because I'm not thinking straight because we're in the middle of doing this, but this will be just a quick way to do this. And what I'll send you is a photo of the cable I'm looking for, and you can tell me whether you've got it or not. Yeah. I just need to borrow it. I've got a job I'm working on right now, and I need to get information out of an iMac.
Okay.
And I'm not sure.
I saw that iMac, actually.
You did?
Yeah, when I dropped off one.
Oh.
I will look again when I get home. I had one. I just couldn't find it.
I've just never had a need for one until just this moment. And, so,
and what does it go to?
Well, okay, what you can do with Macintosh computers, if they're from the same generation, mm-hmm. is you can run a FireWire cable between one
right.
to another,
right.
and you can start up one in what's called target mode. And what that does is it makes it a big external hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
So you can plug a cable between one Mac to the other, and it'll pop up on the other as a hard disk.
Mm-hmm.
And then
so
you can grab data out of it.
Okay.
And that's the issue, is this one won't start up. And I suspect the hard drive is bad, but I can't even begin to work with it without taking the hard drive out. Taking the hard drive out of an iMac is seriously like 1,000 screws, and you have to remove the glass on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
The computer isn't worth doing that kind of... labor to it. So if I can get a hold of one cable, I could at least see if the hard drive's good. If it is, I'd grab the stuff off of it and call it dead, make it a boat anchor.
Okay.
Well, I know I had one because I was going from a Buzzman hard drive to my Apple, and the Apple had a FireWire.
Yeah.
The older
FireWire
one,
connection.
Not the
oh,
new
it's...
The new one doesn't have it.
Oh, okay.
The new one doesn't have the FireWire.
So was it 2014 that had it?
The FireWire?
2007 Apple had
The FireWire has been around a long time.
Yeah, but when was the last time?
The new computer doesn't have it.
They have that Thunderbolt and all that stuff in the new one.
Yeah,
that's
Thunder,
right.
Yeah, Thunder,
Thunderbolt's taken over.
Yeah, Thunderbolt.
So
I'll
look, because I make.
Yeah.
This had Thunderbolt and the BuzzLink. I mean, the
FireWire. Yeah, yeah. My Mac has both, too. But what it doesn't have is it doesn't have the 400. This computer I'm working on has the 400 and the 800,
okay.
and so I need a cable that goes 800 to 800 or 400 to 800.
I'm pretty sure mine is the same on both ends.
Yeah. If it's 400 to 400, it won't work for me because I don't have a 400 on my computer.
But that would be the same on both ends?
Yeah.
I have one.
If it's a rectangle on both ends, that'll work.
Oh.
If it's a...
That's what I brought down, a rectangle through USB.
But it wouldn't be USB.
No? Okay. You can't make that work?
No.
I have the cables with the rectangle that's got a round end. I have those.
You can't plug that, like...
Make it work.
Plug it into something else and make it work.
Plug it into the network adapter and see if you can get Wi-Fi out.
That's right. So anyway, call me or email me or something and let me know. Because when Carla gets down, I may want you to come by, or I'll bring my laptop over.
Chester, I
got to
ask you a personal question.
Really
sure. Well, I don't know how personal it is, but it is something that I...
It looks like you had it set up right.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That was my big question. Why isn't there an internal in my MacBook?
Oh, because there isn't.
Time machine.
Yeah, there. Well, okay,
there is.
There is.
Okay.
Just
but
to interrupt you, how are you?
I'm just fine. It's so good to see you. I'm glad to be here.
People are wandering.
Yes, I got here Thursday, so
thank you. You're welcome. Goodbye.
So there is.
There is. What it's doing is it's archiving backups so that when you get a hard drive connected, then it moves all those over. And
okay.
so what you're doing
okay.
is you're using up file space that you can't see or access.
On my MacBook.
Right.
Okay.
That is going to be moved over to your time machine. Now, where it gets vague with me, because I've never really researched this, is if you change backup drives, are those archives going to go to the new backup drive? Or are those associated with the old one and you're starting over on the new one?
The other thing is that I back up my Quicken to it separately. I do a separate backup always.
Okay, yeah, that's good.
Because I back up
good
everything
practice.
And then
yeah.
I back up Quicken as well.
Quicken is financial data, and
yeah.
so the everything is hopefully nothing goes bad, goes
right.
wrong, and Quicken doing two backups is
better.
Like things got
really
caught on fire,
have to
and
because
It's in the time machine.
Anyway.
Right, but you want to do it. You want to continue to maintain that. And
anytime I make big, you know,
the
like
one you make off the Quicken, you should be sticking on like a USB drive or something. You should have it disassociated with the equipment.
Okay, yeah. So disassociated with my one that I know I'm not supposed to leave plugged in all the time, but I do. And I did read online that if you use one of those every day, because it backs up several times a day,
right,
to that my whatever it was called, my
yeah, every hour, yeah.
It they only last 2 or 3 years. I just read that online.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a moving part, and yeah, so it wears out.
Yeah, yeah.
So
right.
Anyway, thank you
right
very much.
You're welcome.
Call me and I'll
look. I will.
You're going to send me that email.
Yes.
Okay. See you Tuesday.
Well, we've reached the end right on time. It's been an odd meeting with the computer going down because of Windows updates. I don't know what was going on there. I hope if you lost connection with us, you came back later and found us still broadcasting. I've now ended up with 2 sections of recording, so I'm going to have to piece those together before we get. But hey, let me just say goodbye. This is Scott Stimson, International Computer Solutions. If you have a computer problem in San Carlos, give me a call, 226-0209, or visit our website at internationalcs.net. If you're interested in this recording or others, we've got them posted at the San Carlos Computer Club website at sccclub.org. We meet every Tuesday in Tequila's. Tequila's great. They give us web Wi-Fi and table service, and they're friendly and happy to have us. Come and join us. Anyone is welcome. Otherwise, if you can't be down here with us on a Tuesday, you can listen to us live on our stream from the website, or you can come find a recording of the meeting later in the week after I've gotten a chance to post it. Thanks again, and we'll see you next Tuesday. Tech on.